I'd like to begin to ask if Brother George would be kind enough to open up the word for 18. Matthew chapter 18, we have been for several, last several weeks discussing the subject of church discipline. We will conclude that section today. The section is entitled Honesty. Honesty, especially when it comes to handling this issue or subject of church discipline. So, there is a desperate need for honesty in the church today. The Bible says to speak the truth, or speaking the truth in love is God's standard according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15. Recognizing as well that even when we speak the truth, sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth will hurt. And it is designed to do just that. And so if we practice love with untruth, it is hypocrisy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a love chapter. If I speak in the tongues of angels but have not love, it is nothing. So, but if we try to have truth without love, it may be brutality. So even when we have to tell the truth, we must present it in love. Because without that love, it is abuse. It is abuse. And so Jesus always taught the truth in love. And if love hurts, it is because the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 6. And so, remember, we said that Jesus wants to change us or to transform us from the inside out. What's on the inside comes out on the outside in our action and in our speech. And so, even if I have to tell the truth, I must do so with an attitude of love, love and humility. And so, but keep in mind that humility must come before honesty. Humility must come before honesty. Yes. So that's why Galatians chapter 6, 1, brethren, if a brother is overtaken the fall, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. In the spirit of meekness, humility. As Brother Paul would say, take Luke, I want to be the smallest person in the room when they come. I'm not coming puffed up. I'm not coming because I'm trying to prove something. I'm not coming because I feel that I'm better than you. I'm coming because I love you. Yes, and I'm coming as humbly as I can. So humility must come before honesty. A proud Christian cannot speak the truth in love. A proud Christian cannot speak the truth in love. We can't come like a peacock. You ever seen a peacock? Peacock's got his feathers. What's he doing? He wants to draw attention to himself. That's what those feathers are for, to bring attention to himself. So he will use a brother's faults as weapons to fight with it, and not as tools to build with. Whenever we have to correct someone, we should always try to find some good in the situation. Always try to find some good. No one is bad or inherently bad. Listen, brother, I know that you love Jesus, but I need to talk to you about some things. You see what I did? I started off on the positive, and then I drew to the truth. Yeah, wrote the truth. And so, but we can use our brother's faults as an opportunity to further inflict damage in the situation. So, speaking the truth in love is always important, especially in this arena of church discipline. Any questions or comments? You will see from your Bible that the first internal problem of the New Testament church was dishonesty in Acts chapter 5. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira. Can someone tell us what happened in that situation in Acts chapter 5? The first church problem, or first church scene, was in Acts 5. What was the problem? Yes.
They split, they sold some of their possessions, yes. But instead of the church, they kept some plastic themselves.
So what was the scene? What was the sin?
Lying to the spirit.
They misrepresented what they had given.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with giving just part of it. Nothing wrong with that. So the husband came in. The wife came in first. Who came in first?
Husband
came in first. Did you sell the property for such and such? No. What happened to him? What happened to the husband?
No.
What was that? What do you call that? What do you call that? He was struck down. What do you call that? Discipline. Yeah. Swift. Discipline. So, a little while later, Mr. Fire showed up to the church, asked the same question. What did she do? She told half the truth. What happened to her? What happened to the wife? She was struck down too. What do you call that? Church discipline. Thank God he doesn't deal with us that way anymore. Huh? Because a lot of us wouldn't be here today. Amen. I wouldn't be standing right here. I would have been gone a long time ago. And so, as a result of that, the Bible says that great grace came on the church. Yeah? And so, this church discipline. First problem, Ananias and Sapphira tried to make the church members believe they were more spiritual than they were really were. They lied to themselves, thinking that they could get away with the masquerade. They lied to their fellow Christians and the church leaders, and they tried to lie to the Holy Spirit as well. The result was judgment, death. God may not kill every hypocrite in the church today, but hypocrisy certainly helps kill the church. Hypocrisy helps to kill the church. What does the word hypocrite mean? What does the word hypocrite mean? We've got a lot of students in here. Hypocrite. What is a hypocrite?
Pretend to be something
that you know. Do we? Any hypocrites in here? The word hypocrite means to romance. It's like an actor. You see Denzel Washington on TV. Who else is an actor? A famous actor. What's another name of a famous actor on TV? Another famous actor.
Was it
Dwayne Johnson, The Rock? So he gets the script and he goes home and practices these lines, and he has to become the president of the United States or some famous person. But that's not really who he is. And so a hypocrite is an actor. Sometimes when you come up in here, how are you? I'm fine. How many of us say that? I'm blessed and highly favored, but you're not really. Nah. Who are you lying to? Lying to me. But you're lying to God too. That's not that serious, but it can, if we continue in that vein, can cause problems in the church. Yeah? The second internal problem took place in Acts chapter 6. What happened in Acts 6? The Grecian widows were being neglected in the distribution of the food. Yeah? And they had, the members of the church leaders were faced with this problem. How did they face the problem? The apostles said, look up from among yourselves and choose how many men?
Seven
men full of the Holy Spirit who may appoint to this work, but it is not needful that we leave this ministry of preaching and teaching, but you. And then they looked out, they chose this man, and what happened to the church group? How did they handle that problem? With truth and love. Truth and love. Yeah? The truth is, there's a problem. The first stage in counseling and recovery is the first step is to admit you've got a problem. Hi, my name is Gary, and I'm an alcoholic. Talk a lot of crap. That's the truth. And then the people that hear that say, we love you, Gary. That's what happens. You go to the, that's what happens. Now, what happens in the church when we tell the truth? What happens when we tell the truth? You are an alcoholic? What? And you're supposed to be up there preaching? And so, your problem may not be alcohol, but we all have problems. Isn't that right? How do I know that? Is that in the Bible? Yes. Romans 3:23 says what? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all, your problem may not be my problem, but we've all got problems. But when we got problems, we need to address it how? With humility and honesty. That make sense? Does that make sense? So now we gotta put this into practice. We gotta put this into practice. Any questions or comments? And the result will be only greater disharmony if we don't do this. That brings us to the final section of Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, where we will address the subject of forgiveness. The subject of forgiveness. Can I get a volunteer or someone to read Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35? Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Let's someone read that nice and loud for us.
Martha came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? I forgive him. Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Yeah, but the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king, who wanted to settle the account with his servant. When he had begun to settle the account, one was brought to him, who owed him 10,000 talents. While he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. 26. His servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 30. And not from when they took him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that he that had been done. The master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgive you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you? Verse 4. And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers, and he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Okay, thank you. Forgiveness. So when we start living in an atmosphere of humility and honesty, we must take some risks and expect some dangers. When you seek to take this path of activity, unless humility and honesty result in forgiveness, relationships cannot be mended and strengthened. And so Peter recognized the risks involved and asked Jesus how he should handle them in the future. He asked, what was the question? What question did Peter ask Jesus? Verse 21. That's what?
How much actually from this?
How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. But Peter made some serious mistakes. Peter made some serious mistakes in asking those two questions. The first mistake he made is he lacked humility himself. He lacked humility himself. He was sure his brother was sinning against him, but not that he against his brother. He didn't ask, how often should my brother forgive me? Isn't it interesting? Whenever, quite often, you've got a problem and I've got a problem, the questions we ask are one-sided. What should I do when I'm wrong? Or what about when you wrong somebody too? Shouldn't it be the same answer to the same question? You see? And so when we ask a question, we need to ask a question of ourselves first. Does that make sense? Mom, Dad, I've got a problem. And you know what Mom and Dad do? They answer the question. But sometimes you can ask a, you can answer a question with a question. Huh? Secondly, his second mistake was asking for limits and measures. Up to what? 7 times, Lord? Because I'm not giving you too many chances. George, Daniel, I'm going to give you 7 chances. And I'm keeping the record. Okay, that's number 5. That's number 6. That's number 7. Where there is love, there can be no limits or dimensions. Someone read Ephesians 3. One of our young people, please. Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Who has that? Thank you. How limitless is God's love? It's unlimited. How limited is your love? You say, well, I will love them if they love me first. I will love them as much as they love me first. What type of love is this passage talking about? What type of love is this love?
Agape.
What type of love?
Agape.
What is agape love?
Unconditional
love. What is unconditional love? What does that look like? I gave you 5 things, you've been here long enough, I gave you 5 things. What are those 5 things? Agape love. How does agape love manifest itself? How do we see agape love? How do we know what agape love is? It's 5 things. What are the 5 things? For those of you who have been here a while, if not, write it down. And I'm going to ask you again. And if you don't have the answers, what happens then? You can't get to heaven. No, what's it? No. That's a lie. That's a joke. Oh. Agape love, unconditional love. Number 1, write it down. Agape love is a love that volunteers. That's number 1. It is a love that volunteers. Huh? What's number 2? No matter whether the other person acts or not.
Yeah. Deserve or not.
What's that?
I said, no matter how the person deserves it.
Whether they deserve it or not, that's number 3. What's number 4? No matter how many times I have to repeat the act, I'll repeat it again. It is a love that volunteers. Number 2, no matter whether the other person deserves it or not. That's number 2. Number three is no matter, it doesn't matter if whether the person acts or not. No matter if the other person acts or not. That's number three. What's number four? No matter how much it costs me. No matter how much it costs me. And what's number four? No matter how many times I have to repeat the act. No matter how many times I have to repeat the act. Yeah? So if you put those five things into John 3:16, for God so agape the world. What's the first thing? What did he say the first thing is? Jesus volunteered on the cross. What's number two? Whether the other person deserves or not, did we deserve it? No. But he gave it to us anyway. Number three. We didn't ask for it, but we got it anyway. And what's number five? No matter how many times I have to repeat the act. No matter how much it will thank you. No matter how much it costs me. That's agape love. And so, in the matter of forgiveness, let's go back to forgiveness. Somebody does you wrong. I mean real bad. Your best friend does you wrong. They're not a Christian. What do you to do? What's your assignment? To forgive. Why? Because Jesus forgave me first. It's a two-way transaction. I do it because it's been done to me. Now, Peter thought he was showing great faith and love when he offered to forgive at least seven times. That sounds cool, Jesus. If I do it seven times. Now, most people, they might forgive. They might let you get away with it maybe once or twice. But Lord, I'm going to forgive you seven times. You ought to give me some credit for that, Jesus. After all, the rabbis taught that three times was sufficient. You heard that expression, three strikes, you're out. Three strikes, and you're out. That's how we treat people sometimes. And so, what was the Lord's reply? Up to how many? 70. How much is that? 70 times 7. It's on the board. 490 times. Damn. What you think? That's a lot. This might have startled Peter. Who could keep count for that many offenses? But that's exactly the point Jesus was making. Love, according to 1 Corinthians 13:5, keeps what? If I asked you right now to recall a situation where somebody did something wrong to you, but I'm sure most of us could. But the Bible says, love, what type of love? What type of love? Agape love. Keeps no record. So may you pray to God. Lord, when you pray for, Lord, forgive me. Have you done that thing before? How many times? I've lost count. Lord, it's me again. It's me. I'm sorry to bother you, Lord, but can you forgive me? But you want the agape love. Trespass against you. Don't they deserve? Let's look at the text. So by the time we have forgiven a brother that many times, guess what? Guess what happens? We are in the habit of forgiving. Everything you go through, here's the truth. This is for free. Everything you go through in life is for a reason. And the lesson is for who? It's for you. And if you don't learn the lesson the first time, guess what's going to happen? You have to keep going through that thing. this always happening to me? Because perhaps you haven't learned the lesson yet. And so the Lord has to take you back to that exam. How many of us like doing resets of exams? Okay, maybe it's just me. GCSEs, they got all these finals and whatever, and you're just going pins and needles when that paper comes back and they say, you failed. You gotta do it again. You've got to do it again. So the Lord said, you haven't passed this test. Yes.
Sometimes we go through that situation for us to have to help our fellow Christians or brothers and sisters to their situation. Maybe I go through some situation and I pray to God that God help me for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll become stronger so that I can help someone else who is in that situation.
How many of us struggle with forgiveness? Remember we talked about truth and honesty. Truth and honesty. Yeah. That's a struggle. I mean, wait a minute now, Lord. I didn't sign up for this. I did not sign up for this, Lord. And you say, now I can forgive this, Lord. Well, I can forgive this.
Thank you for this, because I'm always saying that I'm the one who done wrong and Jesus died for me.
Yes.
So if God give me this grace, if my neighbor or my sister sin against me, I'll try to forgive her or him. But always we need to pray about it.
Yes. And we are going to drill down to why this is a problem. We're going to drill down in this scripture, in these scriptures, to why that's a problem. It's some good stuff in there. You'd be surprised what's in your Bible when you read it. Amen. And so, 70 times 7. But Jesus was not advising careless or shallow forgiveness. Christian love is not blind. The forgiveness Christ requires is on the basis of the instructions he gave in Matthew 18, 15 through 20. So these verses are connected with verses 15 through 20. Yes, Brother Lloyd.
I thought of starting with something Christ recommends on this. I want to believe that if you come around, I want you to have a little time. I'm not saying. When someone will hurt you, I continue hurting you. So it is not that it's the kind of probably telling us how to deal with human being and our Christianity. Because that Bible, you know, Peter, I think he was in the infant stage of being a Christian.
Okay.
Naturally, as human. Or from my own experience, I've seen someone that said, "Welcome today. Today is September. The fact that I believe you will be by the new year time, but December, some months." So Peter will be coming that direction from a natural as a human being.
For me, I even tried.
If I want to watch you forgive for several times, then the question will be checked. Either he knew himself or you yourself, what are things that probably my attitude, my action that's wrong,
yeah,
that need to be put in place? Because I want to be coming to you after I've been annoying you.
Yeah.
Then like, something needs to be called check.
Yeah. Which Jesus has already dealt with in verses 15 through 20. If your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him your fault. So the answer is in the scripture. You see? So God always sets in place a safety mechanism. Because in our relationship with one another, we sometimes trespass against one another. So how do we make that right? He's already dealt with that. So now Peter's saying, well, how many times shall I forgive you? If the stage one here, how many times shall I forgive Jesus? Of course, I like him. He's like us. Yeah? And so, good question. If a If a brother's guilty of a repeated sin, no doubt he would find strength and power to conquer that sin through the encouragement of his loving and forgiving brethren. If we condemn a brother, we bring out the worst in him. But if we create an atmosphere of love and forgiveness, we can help God bring out the best in him. Yes.
Okay, that's all. Faith for this personally, like, you know,
yes.
You might be one of those things. And I had this thing, and then once I was, I tell you, it was about during those times I was in the church, and then there was not this part of the parkway, it says, if you're going to continue, so you take it to the brothers, if you continue to swim back, and there was this someone going on, where it says, you just have to, like, pity myself, you know, pity myself, test that, okay, you know. Mm-hmm. So now when this passage here goes, it is like saying you have to forgive, not counting. Mm-hmm. You don't have to count how many times. Because sometimes I have been through this, like being told, you have been doing this repeatedly, you see, you keep on, like I have, you know, the struggles with me.
Mm-hmm.
But the struggles are, you're doing because you're not in the spirit, so it is difficult for you what you do. It's like you say, I try to do the things that I don't wish I'm not in control.
Mm-hmm.
But even understanding that, like, particularly it's the grace of God and the forgiveness that is continual, that I'm today. It's not that I'm perfect, I'm still perfect. But maybe coming back to that, it's like I feel like this, and it says, you have to forgive your brother unlimited times, and the forgiveness is not counting the time. But
yes.
When you say that, like, you get there, if you forgive us, if the listeners to this thing, doesn't listen to it, you just take it to the elders, take it to the this thing, and then if it just continues, you just have to have no relationship with it.
Yes, and so hopefully it doesn't get to that point. Hopefully it doesn't get to that
point. My point is that this is not like a complicated thing. And it says you have to, like, you know, for me it is like that. If I have a child, if she continues, I tell her, this is the last time I'm telling you. I tell her many times every day, this is the last time you won't be doing this, you won't be doing this. And if you do this, so and so. But still, I just tell her, because I'm a father, I just tell to her, God forgives us also. So it is me as a father, I keep on saying this thing, but when I'm angry, I tell you, this is the last time I'm going to tell you again, if you tell the consequences.
But you're not going to put the child out on the street. No. So that's where the agape love comes in, because that's your test. The Bible says as much as depends on who?
You.
On you. The peace of leave before me.
Yes.
So, and we're going to get to that, you know, to answer that as well. Yes.
Yeah, I just
want to
say, that is
what
it is like being a Christian is difficult. And that's where the long suffering comes in.
Yes.
Forgiving someone is very difficult.
Yes.
And we are growing in
the
level of your growth as well.
Yes.
You just come out, oh, because Christ died for me. Sometimes you so far to forgive somebody. And depend on me, depend on the offense as well.
Yes.
It's only kill your daughter, you
your life. Yes.
You know, you
so far, because we're human.
You might take away your life. You might take away your life.
Yes.
That's why Christian is so bad. He said, eat, I know what is good. And oh, God, I've died for myself.
Yes.
I have to forgive.
Yes.
You know,
because he forgave me. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I want to say that we have to remember that God is a creator and we are created. Romans 12 talks about being paid like a Christian.
Yes.
He goes on to say, to love your enemy.
Yes.
It's a good kingdom.
Yes.
But he goes on to remind us that he will repay. So this is the reaction that happens in our lives.
Yes.
And if someone will forgive continually and asking God to help us love that person
So this parable in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, teaches the power of forgiveness. It is important to note that this parable is not about salvation. For salvation is wholly of grace and is unconditionally given. And so to make God's forgiveness a temporary thing is to violate the very truth of Scripture. Well, as Romans 5 and 8 say, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is that saying? Before you accepted Christ, before you even were cleansed of your sins, Christ gave himself for your sins. That's how he proved his love for you. He demonstrated his love for you in that while you were yet sinless, even big for us, he died for us. And then Ephesians 2, what does Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast.
So you are saved, you and I are saved by grace, regardless or irrespective of anything we've done. You can't earn God's grace. You couldn't earn God's grace, not because of any good thing that you've done. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And he says, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Titus chapter 3, Titus the third chapter, verses 3 through 7. Titus chapter 3.
For we are ourselves also once foolish, disobedience, deceit, having great lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's all. Because when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by grace, we should become heirs of the hope of eternal life.
And so the parable deals with forgiveness between brothers, not between lost sinners and God. This is talking about Christians, brother-to-brother relationship. That's what Peter is discussing with the Lord. The emphasis in this chapter is on brother forgiving brother. We see that in Matthew 18, verse 15. We've already studied that, and also in verse number 21. So this is a continuation of that same teaching. And so the main character in this parable went through three stages in this experience of forgiveness. He went through three stages. We're going to pause there. Next week, Lord willing, please read through those verses. Yes? And I have some handouts here. Brother George, would you be kind enough to...